like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Let's sing it again. There's none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. One more time, sing it to him tonight. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
That is certainly the truth tonight. Amen. Good to be in church tonight. We sure had great services here over the weekend. Appreciate Brother David obeying the Lord this weekend. Brother Donnie with us tonight. Looking forward to the word tonight. We have quite a few prayer requests tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Terry if he don't mind to come and pray over these. We'll just go through them with you here. There's a Brother David Gertson had an accident in Canada. He's unconscious currently in the hospital. Also, John Gertson has a cousin who had a separate auto accident and was killed. His wife is expecting. Just please pray for that family. A lot of tragedy there. Let's remember those folks. Please pray for Becky Lynch having an MRI on Friday. Also for Rachel Lynch, who had surgery today. Just remember her. Brother Matt Carter's brother-in-law, George Buckman, Senior, he's in the emergency department for trouble breathing. Also continue to pray for our neighbor, Matt Shepard, with multiple injuries. He's in the UVA hospital in Charlottesville, Virginia. So Sister Ruth Ann Carter turns that in. Sister Martha Ann has a great niece that was a preemie, born about 2 months ago, went home about a week ago from the hospital, had to be readmitted back to the hospital a couple of days ago. Little Paisley Grace is a very sick baby. Please pray for her. So let's remember that. Sister Ellie Parker wants to thank the Lord for taking away 30 of her warts. So she wants to thank the Lord for moving for her. So appreciate the Lord touching her little life. Pray for Tony Balk, his brother Eric Krause, boss. He had a bone marrow transplant 2 years ago, stopped working. His body's rejecting the transfusion. He's in bad shape, needs our prayers. Sister Janet Payne turns in a request for Sister Jan Hall, hospital with a bad infection. They can't find what's wrong. Please continue to remember Brother Bert and Sister Barbara Gravely. She had 80 to 90% blockage in her carotid artery. So let's remember that. Ruth Ward, Sister Ruth home, sick tonight, not feeling well. Also for Sister Ann Little, her pancreas not functioning well, causing her pain. And also a praise report for Brandy Anthon, is doing better here in the service with us tonight, her and her family. So we thank the Lord for that. Please pray for Brother Jeff Nunley, been sick the last couple of days. Jaden Hamming not feeling well. Brother Keith Phillips wants to thank the Lord for looking out for him with a car accident today. Vehicle ran a red light right in front of him. He just wants to thank the Lord for being a bumper for him. So we're sure glad you're here tonight and safe, Brother Keith. Pray for Sister Linda Krager, who had eye surgery and her face is very bruised, swollen, not feeling well. Wants to thank God for bringing her through the surgery. Wants the church to pray for a complete recovery so she can return to church. Also, I want to request prayer for my daughter, Emily. I'd requested prayer about a month ago. She had some major improvement in pain levels. She's finally had a major surgery to improve her condition. She's in a lot of pain still, so they're asking you to pray for her that she could get total full relief from this. That's from Brother John Taylor. It's from a Thomas family. I'd like to request saints at Happy Valley pray regarding the surgery I'm having on Wednesday the 26th. Praying God will guide the surgeon's hand with a speedy recovery. And that's Sister Angela Thomas. And Brother Randy Scott turns in a request. Brother and sister in the name of Carl and Patty, two little kids that they used to have services together with, just found out that Carl has passed away at the age of 63. Keep his wife and those kids in prayer. Testimony, stand tonight as Brother Terry comes. Finally, Brother Ben Davis said he'd like to thank the Lord that 2 years ago today, his life was changed forever. So we thank the Lord for those touches in our lives, don't we?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we just bow our head tonight as we look to the Lord? You pray with me as we lead in prayer. Lord Jesus, before we ask any petition, we want to say thank you that we have this. We call it an opportunity to go to church. Surely it is. And one day we know it'll be taken away, not looking negative, but we know that's promised. One day the doors will be closed. But while we still have this wonderful, great opportunity, we truly are thankful that we can come once again. Lord, we just see outside for the true bride. We realize that the days of playing church is over. That's, I don't know how long it's been, but we're just glad that we truly have a revelation that the end is so near. What we must do quickly. As the saying goes, we're happy to be here. We're happy to be part of the kingdom of God. We pray, Lord, that so many requests, 15 or 20, very serious needs. And only you can undertake in behalf of these. We see the nation, the conditions of the world, and it's so sad to see the insanity everywhere. But Father, you said it would be that way. We hate to see it. We feel sorry for humanity everywhere, but it'd be that way. And they told us in souls that are now in prison, different places, how the conditions would be. But you said one thing, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. We're happy that we're sealed in. Father, we can't save everyone. We wish that they were, but oh God, what can we say in these times? Lord, if there's somebody in the building that's never really made that all-sufficient decision to give their life to Christ, let it be this night. We're thankful, Lord, for the book of Acts has been brought to us in the last several weeks. We see that we're living out that part of the book of Acts. It was promised that Paul would go to Rome. Lord, we're not going to Rome. We're going to another dimension. We're going to a reality where this is partial realization. We're going to true realization, full, final realization. And we're making preparation for it. But I pray, God, that you'll heal each one of these. Touch and manifest your divine healing power upon each one. Let it be testimony. May there be several testimonies come out of these as we pray. People are praying. Somebody's having faith for each one. These people will be healed because you promise. Ask abundantly that your jaws may be full. And we thank you, Lord, tonight. We thank you that our pastor's back. Pray that you'll just anoint him to speak those things that you've laid upon his heart. And we're glad, Lord, to be here in the house of God. We say what a privilege it is to come. We get to come one more time. And truly from our heart, we really, truly believe that. We get to come one more time. We're happy to be here. Sanctify our thoughts, Lord. Anoint him to speak. Anoint us to hear. Heal each one that and their names have been read, and we'll give you praise, Lord, and may you receive glory in the service tonight as we learn more of you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated tonight.
Peace of God, cover me. Cover me. Cover me. Of God, cover me through the storm. Cover me, for only in you I am safe. Only in you I'm secure. Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I'm going through. the storm. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand. Cover me. Cover me.
Cover me when I'm hurting, sing it.
Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand. Cover me. Peace of God, cover me.
Thankful for his peace tonight.
Cover me. Peace of God, cover me. Through the storm. Cover me.
Only in you I'm safe.
Only in you I am safe.
Like to come tonight, lift the offering. We got just a couple announcements. We'd like to welcome some folks to the service tonight. Brother Chris and Sister April Wiesner with daughter Charlotte and son Nehemiah from Illinois. Where those folks would be tonight, but welcome to the service. In the back there, God bless y'all. Appreciate you being with us. Thank you. And also Brother Charles and Sister Karen Anthem, with their daughters Brandy and Mary from Louisiana. This is part of our streaming congregation, so we appreciate those folks being with us tonight as well. Through the fire. Through the fire. Let's sing together. Harry and Chuck and myself have sung this plenty of times. Plenty enough for this to be a congregational. We shouldn't be singing this by ourselves. But how many times has the Lord showed up just right on time and got you through the fire one more time? And it gives you confidence the next time. There might be some pretty high flames, but we've been down this road before. He's going to show up. I'm not sure when, but he's showing up. We'll get through this. Through the fire, and I think, sing this with us. Well, so many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so out of hand. Well, it's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. As I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises.
rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy, and your hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, that I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, He'll seal the flames again, again. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy, and the hill would not be hard to. If I trust the mighty hand of God, He'll seal the flames again, again. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy, and the hill would not be hard.
For that tonight. And Sister Jessica Benton, I believe, has a song for us tonight, if she could come and be getting ready to sing. Appreciate her doing that for us tonight. And I have a card to read to you from, this is from Sister Jan Winters. She wants to thank my church family. She says how much I love and appreciate every one of you. The cards and prayer have been such a blessing to help me feel connected. She'd also said the streaming is such a blessing and food for my tired body. So God bless you all from Sister Jan Winters. So let's continue to pray for her.
spirits low, and it seems I can hardly go. Still I see victory. Many times I'm walking by faith, can't see what lies before me, but still I see victory. I've just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. And you may stand and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. Remember, you can't cross the bloodline. Sometimes our battles get hot, and it seems like we're fighting a lot. Oh, I remember I'm standing on that rock. So, Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and give up too, because I do believe you're gonna lose. I've just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. And you may stand and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. Remember, you can't cross the bloodline. You may stand and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. Remember, you can't cross the bloodline. You must remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
Appreciate that song tonight. Let's stand as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring the word to us tonight. Let's just sing this together. Take up your cross and follow Jesus.
We'll take up your cross, follow Jesus. Take up your cross. Jesus. Let's follow him once again. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross. Lord, that you know him, count the cost, take up your cross, follow him.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good to be back together tonight in the house of the Lord. That's one thing about this walk with God. Your cross has got your name on it. I can help you with yours. You can help me with mine. But I can't bear yours. And you can't bear mine. But if God's made one with your name on it, it's up to God to give you the strength to be able to help you to carry it. You believe He will? Amen. Let's look at a man tonight that's going through a very, very difficult time. The ship is tossing. The boards are cracking. The mast is about broken. They're in such turmoil they don't know what to do. But an angel of God stands by him and lets him know he's going to be all right. Amen. Acts chapter 27, verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained. Ain't it amazing how you can gain harm and loss and it actually helps you? Gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And this is how I can say this in such a positive way. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Praise be to God. If in the midst of all of our storms we could be this positive, I guarantee our storms would be different. Praise the Lord. Whose I am and whom I serve. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Anybody like to be remembered in prayer before the Lord? God bless you. I would too. Heavenly Father, as we approach your written word tonight, Lord, and we come to you in prayer, we are so thankful for the opportunity, Lord Jesus, that we could be gathered together. Just does our hearts good to be able to come to church, Lord, and just to be able to worship you and sing and hear testimonies, prayers, hear the preaching of the word. Just watch you move among us. We love you, Father. We ask tonight that you would take this story, which was written so many, many years ago. May you be able to quicken it tonight. May you be able to blend this version that was written by Luke around 53, 55 AD, something like that. May you be able to merge it with present conditions in 2017. May you be able to take the parallels, the symbolism that'll run between these things tonight. And may it be as if though you are right here tonight and we're in the middle of this, our boat, and the Spirit of God is speaking to us as well. We don't want this just to be a historical record. We don't want it to be a repeat of a story that's just a good Bible story. But make it real to us tonight, Father, I pray. Lord, you see this handkerchief that I have in my hand. You know the need, the request, Lord. I'm going to wear it near my body as I preach tonight. May your anointing, I pray, Father, go with it. Meet it, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's pick up again in verse 22, just to tap back a little bit for last Wednesday night. I exhort you to be of good cheer. You know, I find this amazing because I see it a parallel, and many times with preachers in this day and preachers down through the ages, that a preacher himself can be going through such difficulty in his life, and yet God will encourage him maybe just a wee bit first and then use him to encourage others. You know, you look at Jonah and you realize when Jonah comes through the belly of the fish and God delivers the man and by supernatural means and the fish spits him out on the bank. And Jonah goes down there and he begins to preach to the people of Nineveh. Preach about their rebellion. Preach about their hard-headed attitude and all that. You know one reason he can preach that? He just got delivered from the same thing. Now, this man just had come through, right? He had just come through quite a difficult situation, and God sends him right down. So it ain't like the preacher standing off. He's so holy, he's so pious, he's so righteous, and never fights any battles. Don't you believe that for one minute? And it's the same way with Paul. Now, even though Paul knew somehow God supernaturally was going to be with him and he's going to stand before Caesar, he doesn't know exactly how it's going to be. And there must have been enough humanity left in Paul that Paul began to fear. Now, can we be honest tonight and say we love the Lord with all of our hearts and we believe His Word with all of our hearts, but there's still enough humanity, and I guarantee every one of us, beginning right here with this guy all the way back to the back door, to every person that'll stream this service, that there's enough humanity left in all of us that sometimes we worry and we fear and we have doubt and we get frustrated. Come on, saints. Why is that? It's the part about us that is not converted. And Paul must have been experiencing a similar type of thing. Questioning and wondering why would the angel of God would have told Paul, fear not, if he'd not fear. It make absolutely no sense whatsoever to tell a man not to fear if he's not already doing it or fixing to. That's right. Now, so Paul can stand here, and maybe Paul himself could not say this in this way until he had had a supernatural advent of an angel of God. Now, why did God send an angel to do this? I'm not really sure. Because other times in Paul's life, when he would face difficult situations, God didn't send an angel, but it was by inspiration. And the inspiration at that time was apparently all that Paul needed. It would be a word from God, and that's all that Paul needed. But in this particular situation, he must have needed more. Now, you imagine that these people here, Paul said, an angel, who knows if it made any difference to them or not, but it certainly made a difference to him. Now, does that mean that you and I are going to have those times? I guarantee you that there will be times in our life that we need more of a supernatural inspiration from God than we do at other times. Sometimes God drops a little word there and that seems like it pushes you right over and it helps you. And there's other times you really need a supernatural boost. You ever get there? I do. There's times I really need that, and you know what? It don't mean I'm not saved. It doesn't mean I'm not a Christian, a child of God, but apparently I just need it more. I'm glad our Father is so understanding. Now, then Paul, after this happens to him, he said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. Now, remember, the storm is not calm. Nothing has changed as far as what's fixing to happen. But Paul has now been able to enter into some comfort himself. It's really hard for you and I to honestly comfort other people when we are down, sad, and depressed. But if you've come out of that and you just recently received comfort, you know the value of what it is to be able to be comforted, and therefore you can comfort others because you have just recently been comforted yourself. Praise God. So he tells them, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Now he's telling them, take heart and have courage. Don't be cast down. These things that's happened, I know it's been scary, I realize that, but there's not going to be any loss of life. Nobody is going to die. But there will be a loss of this thing that you have become very disobedient about, and you have made an idol out of it, and you actually put it in front of the Word of God. And that was this ship and its cargo. Oh my, you're going to preach with me tonight? Now, what's going to be lost on this voyage? The ship, the cargo, the money-making thing that they were so interested in, it's all going to be lost. Now, their values are going to have to be re-evaluated. So the grain that was on there that was going to add to this merchant's wealth, and no doubt this ship was very, very expensive, quite a large ship to be able to haul all this grain.
and to be able to hold all these people. But apparently God says you are going to learn some rearranging of priorities. And this ship is going down. Now, it's needless for me to say it, but you realize all of us build ships like this in our life. And we put these values on this and that and the other. When the Lord wants us as believers, as children, to have the order of our priorities exactly right. Remember, God comes first. Your wife, your children, everybody else is next in line after God. And you are last. I'm going to say it again. God is first, your wife, your children, everybody else, and you are last. That's the divine order. Most of us don't live in that order, but that's the divine order. Most of us is number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and on down, and God's number 58 or 59, our wife is 138, our children, you know, on down. But we take the most definitely the top slots. I want this, I want that, and we're living in a very selfish age. Come on now, don't get quiet. But notice how Paul, because of this visitation from God, apparently he himself was unclear about the status of the rest of these people. Now, I believe that as this was going on, and the men that was the sailors and merchantmen, whatever more, and they was trying to save the boat, maybe bailing out water, maybe adjusting the sails, trying to do everything they know to do. Well, Paul was not a shipman. He didn't really know that much about it, but I guarantee you, he was doing what he knew about, and that was praying. Oh, you say, I can't preach, I can't sing, I can't prophesy. You can pray. There ain't a person here that can't be a very great prayer warrior in the presence of God. Now, he says, you know, this is coming, no doubt, with an unexpected answer. They probably didn't think this even going to live. But he said, brothers, just be of good cheer, because there will be no loss of human life, only of the ship. Now, all hope of God is already gone. Even Luke, as we looked at it last week, that Luke said that all hope of being saved was gone. So here's a preacher that's saying, there ain't no hope for us. We're done gone too far. There ain't no hope. But Paul said, no, there is hope, not only for the elect in this situation, but God is going to save all of you because he loves me so much. Well, praise the Lord. I know that chokes some of you, but it's the truth. Notice now in verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. The angel of God, whose I am. Now this is the expression of Paul's entire devotedness of his life, his soul, everything about him to the work of God. The angel of God, whose I am and whom I've served. Now the divine ownership is a great revelation to me. It's one that I received from the Lord many, many years ago. But it's one that many people struggle with. And I wonder how many here in this building tonight have that real revelation of divine ownership, that you belong to God. And that what God wants out of your life, the way God, if you're a businessman, you say, well, it's my business. Well, not if you're a Christian, it's not. It's you and God's together. Right. Well, it's my body. It's mine. No, if you're a Christian, it's yours and God's together. Now, your body does belong to you, but first and foremost, it belongs to God. So belonging to you, if you're a blind leader to sin, you could dress any way you want to and do with your body whatever you want to do. But because you are not your own, you are bought with a price, you and God share interests in the same house. So therefore, we are not Laodiceans. Now, Laodiceans, their will is their own, their imagination is their own, their mind is their own, their body is their own, their time is their own, their money is their own. Everything they have, they think is theirs. So you tell them, you got to do this, you got to do that. That's why they become so resentful. But a real child of God knows they are not their own. They belong to the Lord. Now, Paul is not saying this in a resentful way. Well, I belong to God. God made me do this. I'm having to do this because I'm a Christian. I'll go to hell if I don't know. He wasn't going to hell. But it was a real revelation of divine ownership. But it was not so much ownership in the days of slavery to where you were chained and you were so scared to death that the master was going to flog you every day. It was out of divine love. Now, in this is where he makes the next portion of this statement, which links it together. And he says, whose I am and whom I serve. Now, he uses the word here when Luke writes it down, that it was, he employs the word which means the service of a worshiper or a priest, not that of a slave. Paul has a revelation of divine ownership. Now, because then God owns him, it turns him into a worshiper of self-will. It turns him into a worshiper in a new order after the order of Melchizedek. He is a true priest after the power of God. So there's no chance of him ever getting into a monotony. There's no chance in it ever becoming from father to son to grandson, and you know, each generation gets worse and worse. God's divine ownership of his children today produces the exact same feeling, the exact same emotion, the exact same stirring as it did 2,000 years ago. Because this is not passed down from one generation to another to another. Every one of us sitting here tonight are first generation Christians. And that's what God wants it to be for our children. Our children, we want them to come to church. We want them to understand. It's our responsibility as parents to be able to teach it and hand it down to them. But in reality, we know we must teach our children as well. Honey, pray that God will make this real to your heart. Pray that you won't just sit there at Happy Valley under the pastor and other ministers and shake your head and say, yeah, that's right. But pray that God will make it real to you. Why? So they also can have the same revelation that they belong to God as well. They're not. It's not mama's God. It's not daddy's God. It's not Brother Branham's God. It is my God. Amen. The angel of God whose I am and whom I serve. Now friend, when we're talking about this, we're talking about the first fruits. These are the ones going in the rapture. Down through seven church ages, God has been gathering the grain and pulling the theophany into the sixth dimension. And when they die, they leave here, go into the theophany. But it is the gathering of the first fruits. The first fruits of what? Every one of them that are first generation Christians. God has no grandchildren. God has no great grandchildren. No great great grandchildren. So here we stand tonight and sit here in this place, and we have the exact same experience that Peter had 2,000 years ago. And not only that, but some of our children sitting here tonight have the exact same experience, Brother Dave, that we have, which is the same one Brother Branham had, which is the same one Paul had, which is the same one Jesus had, which is the same thing Jesus himself had when he received it down the river that day. Very same thing. So we are then the first fruits. So Paul said, I am not here as you Romans are. You're scared to death. Now it's going to prove by their attitude once they begin to hit the sea and the two ways there and the isthmus of the land projects out and they drive her hard and then they break up. And then the Roman soldiers make up their mind they're going to kill all these guys. It proves that their king over them and the dominion by which they are under has such a rule over them under this Roman slavery that if for them to let one slave get away, they would lose their life. So they are going to kill them. Now here's two great powers that are at work in this boat. One under the power of God, selflessness, and another under a Roman empire, a Roman that's absolutely a tyrant, which they think of what? Not selflessness, but selfishness. So they are going to kill everybody there. After God uses this man to save them. Why? Because if they get away, they'll be killed anyway. So they were so under the power of Rome that it made them heartless and cold. Can't you see why the people of the age that we're living in, why they're stripping off their clothes, why they're crazy? They don't know if they're man or women. They don't know when their babies are born, if they're a boy or a girl. I mean, I ain't very smart, but it looks like anybody can tell that. So we're not even sure which one we had, a boy or a girl. So we're not, this is the rave, you know, they say that's coming in this generation. It's gender babies. That's a bunch of hogwash. They're either born male or female. Unless you're blind as a jackrabbit and can't see nothing. Well, we're not going to put it on the birth certificate. We're going to let them decide for themselves. My, my friend. What a time we're living in. But you realize it has to be this way. One of the minister brothers the other day had sent a thing out on a chat. We got going. And it was three different men that got married. So I guess now two ain't enough anymore. They got to have three and four and five and six. Who knows where it's going to go to? We hate it. It's terrible. But I say if that's what it has to go to, so be it. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And we are. This is why we do not fit in this world. We are not of this world. We don't act like the world. We don't talk like the world. We're not even of the religious world. We're a totally different people by God's grace. So we belong to Him. This is why we dress the way we do, act the way we do, live the way we do, because we belong to the Lord Jesus. Now think of the contrast. Now we have two prophets of God. We have two boats. We have two separate dispensations, and we have two different messages. The first one that we want to look at is Jonah. You know, we have a man that is a prophet of God, a man with a message from God. And God gives the man the message. Of course, he don't want to go down to the Gentiles. In one sense, you can see where he would struggle. He was a Jew. Who knows what them Gentiles will do to him? He's down in the ship, in the sides. He's complaining. He's groaning. He's grumbling. Oh, my, he's all upset. And then the boat, what do? They go to having a storm. Now, then you'll find the similarities, how many of them there are in this. So whenever they go into the storm, they go to lightening the ship. Now, they've done the same thing in the days of Paul. So, but on this ship now, we find another prophet of God with a baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's going to Gentiles too. As a matter of fact, he's going to the capital of the Gentile world, Rome. They're not going to receive him, as they're going to kill him. They're going to take his head off eventually. But yet, look at the difference between him and Jonah. So Jonah's crying. Jonah don't want to go. Jonah's gone through this and that and the other. And of course, finally, we know the story that they finally have to throw him out. Well, the contrast in this story, that these merchantmen, they get ready to be able to hit this, and they're fixing to jump out in the lifeboats and save themselves. But something is jumping out of both boats. But you know, in this, now they have to throw Jonah overboard in order to be saved. But in this boat, in order to be saved, you've got to stay on board a crashing ship. Which makes absolutely no sense at all. In order to be saved in the days of Jonah, they had to get rid of him. In order to be saved in the days of Paul, you had to stay near him. You throw Paul over, you're lost with him. Paul will be saved and you'll be lost. But look at the difference in the attitude of these men. Very similar situation. It reminds me of us. Notice now, it reminds me of us in things that we can go through. We may go through similar things, and our attitude going through it one time is one thing. We're a Jonah. Oh, we got this attitude. We're resentful, this, that, and the other. And then other times we go through something very, very similar, and we're Paul. Oh, we're St. Paul this, and St. Paul that, and St. Paul something else. And then other times we're old backslid Jonah, and backslid Jonah, and we're in a bad mood. You're going to church. I ain't going to church tonight. There ain't no need of it. Then God gets a hold of you and smacks the forehead of you and straightens you out. And then you go through a trial 6 months from now. And it's even worse than that one there. And you got the sweetest attitude. And you're just like a big lump of honey. Just sugar running all over you. You say, my goodness, what in the world happened? Both of these are prophets of God. Right? Both of these are men of God. Both of these love the Lord. You know what, friend? When you and I can realize our ups and downs and our humanity, your mistakes is not you. Your failures is not you. My mistakes come from a part of me that is not even me in the first place. My mistakes is not me. Before I had mistakes, I was perfect. Before I had a body of time, I was in the mind of God as a thought of God. So my sickness is not me. My mistakes is not me. I think we lay claim too much to my blood pressure and my heart problems and my headaches, my migraines. That's part of your problem. You need to give them back to the devil. Quit claiming them. Well, my blood pressure. No, you quit claiming that is yours. You send that right back to hell and say, devil, this ain't my blood pressure no more. You're afflicting me with it. I'm going to take medication. I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm going to do whatever I got to do until this thing is gone from me, but I ain't calling it mine not another day, because it ain't mine, it's yours. So take your old heart problem, take your old kidney problem, take your old high blood, but that ain't mine no more. And if I mess up and call it mine, I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me. Well, my blood pressure and my sugar and my this. What are you saying that for? You know why some of you have accepted that garbage from the devil? Well, my, this wasn't part of the notes, but let's go this way. I'll tell you, friend, we need to, is that Christ's confession of you? He being the high priest of our profession and confession, he can only confess in heaven what we confess on earth. What if you say, my cancer, my TB, he ain't going to say that because he ain't going to say it's yours. He's not going to say that's yours. He didn't buy that for you. He bought that to set you free. He didn't buy you no cancer. He didn't buy you no high blood pressure. He didn't buy you no depression. He didn't buy you no sickness. He bought you healing from sickness. Oh my, the angel of God and whose I am and whom I serve. Verse 24, saying, fear not, Paul. Fear not, Paul. And why would you tell a man there that has no anxiety, no worry, no problem, nothing going on? Why would you even waste your time? God don't bump his gums the way we do and say things that don't have no meaning to him. Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Now the angel of God answers him in the order of priority, the way it arranges in heaven. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them. Well, glory. All them. What a remarkable expression. Every one of those people outside of Luke and the elect, can you imagine? Every one of them is going to be saved, not eternally saved now, but saved from the flood and from drowning and all the coverage of the waters. They're going to be saved not because God loved them. Ooh. The angel didn't say, I'm going to save them because I so love the world. But he said he's going to save them because of you. God's given them to you. Children, don't give up praying for your husband. Don't give up praying for your wife. Don't give up praying for that lost boy or girl. Oh, they may not be bride, but God may give them to you. Praise the Lord. I said they may not be bride. God did not make these people elect because of Paul, but he did save them. Praise be to God. God hath given thee. God hath given thee. God didn't even give them their own lives. God didn't give them their own lives. God gave them to Paul. Now, if God did that to Paul, what about what he gave to Jesus? God gave you as a love gift to Christ. That's why all those in Jesus' boat, none of them will be lost. Why? God said, I've given them to you. I've given them to you. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, boys, you're going to suffer a great loss, but ain't one of your lives going to be lost. No way. Why? Because God had given them to him. Friend, you look at how God must have loved this great man of God. In a ruined ship. In an unknown sea, in a dilemma that probably most of these sailors had never even been in before. As I mentioned to you last Wednesday night, that Josephus, some few years after this, gets in this basic same area, the Adriatic Sea. And he comes through with 300 and some people on board, and 200 and some of them are killed. Absolutely annihilated. And yet the Spirit of God, because of the presence of one servant of God, gets everybody on board to this prophet of God. Even though your flesh was weak, Paul, even though you are human, even though you had a little bit of doubt and wondering how it's going to be, you're mine and I'm yours. Amen. Oh, Paul, your face might have got away from it a little bit, but I never left you. Amen. Oh, children, when you're going to realize, sometimes our faith, the prophet tells us that, what was it, ever present water from the rock, 1961, he said, your faith may get away from it, but it will never get away from you. Fear not, right in the middle of trouble, right in the middle of all these waves and all the crashing of all of it going on, and yet God tells him, don't be afraid. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Guess what, devil? It's been spoke, it's been declared, there ain't enough storms to stop it from happening. Amen. If God said Paul's going before Caesar, amen. I wonder what God said about you. Now, if we could hear it tonight, oh my, it would so change our attitude about life itself. But if God was so determined that Paul would go to Rome, that he would make a decree or a mandate which could not be broken. I wonder if God has not called our names and called the real bride around the world, hallelujah, by her name and said, this one is going in the rapture. This one is going in the rapture. This one is in the resurrection. This one is going. You tell me what can ever override that mandate of God. Amen. If your Euroclodon could not stop Paul, praise God. Sickness and disease and your own shortcoming and our failures will not be able to stop the mandate of God. If God called your name and it was loose when the seals are opened up in this day, there is nothing. Hallelujah. Paul said, I am convinced that neither life nor death nor principalities nor power can be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that can break the mandate of God. Hallelujah. There is nothing that can change his mind. Notice how the angel says this, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou, look at this next word. Must. Not perhaps, possibly. We're still trying to sort out the end of it here and see how it's going to work out. You must. Lord, children, I wish God would drop it in our hearts tonight to know if we're bride and we're called for that rapture. It's not possibly, maybe. God's still trying to work it out. You must be there. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Nothing's going to change it. It is a decree and the will of Almighty God. Now watch, it shows by the way the angel of God answered him that Paul in this was not praying in a selfish way. Now we know many times that God will come with messages and it pertains to things on our heart, things in our life, things we're going through. And you watch this verse as it unfolds, because Paul is now being dealt with first. He said, Paul, you're going to stand before Caesar. Don't be afraid. But he also said, I want you to know that God's going to give you these people. That's what, now wonder why he would say that unless this man had been asking for him. Wonder sometimes if we have not because we ask not. Well, if my children ain't bride, let them go on to hell. Don't you never say that. If your children ain't bride, at least pray for them that God will save them. They might be foolish virgins. They might come up someone that, well, so-and-so. I tried to tell them about serpent seed and they wouldn't hear. I don't even worry about them no more. Well, pray. They may be a lot that God can save them. What if it would be on your behalf that God would save them and you didn't pray for them? Don't you want everybody to go that you can take? God has given thee all them. Oh my. God has determined to save the whole ship's content as far as human life for your sake. Oh my. Sometimes God will save a nation. God will save a people, a city. Oh, hallelujah. For the sake of one individual. Even sometimes ungodly men. Uh-oh. God spared Lot for Abraham's sake. God didn't spare Lot for Lot's sake. He spared Lot for Abraham's sake. Abraham, oh my. Lot was not even considered in the mediation. Lot was not standing up there and the angel of God talking to him and him mediating. Okay, what about 50 and 45 and then 40 and then 30? God never even went to Lot. Lot did not have mediatorial power. Lord Jesus. Lot did not have mediatorial power and direct access to the throne of God to be able to pull on God's heartstrings as it was. But here was a man. Lord have mercy. Here was a man that could say, Lord, you will not destroy the righteous with the wicked, will you? Can you imagine this man who knows his position so well that he will, oh my, he will bring God's own character right back in his face. This is a man that has faith in his position. Lord, children, if we can have that kind of faith in who we are and what we're asking for, God, you won't let my children be lost, will you? Lord, you won't let my prayers go to the ground. Us preachers, we can say, God, you won't let my work be in vain. You won't let all my preaching, all my studying amount to nothing, Lord. You won't do it. You're a righteous judge. You're power, Holy God. You'll hear my prayers, Lord. You'll move on my behalf. Look what Laban said to Jacob in Genesis chapter 30, verse 27. Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Now that's kind of sad in one way, but kind of good for Jacob, I guess. But you know, here Laban has at least got enough sense to know God ain't doing it because he likes me. He's doing it because he likes you. And you work for me. So if you don't mind, would you still hang around? Is this a scripture? Genesis 39:5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer, Joseph, in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Can't you see how much God loves his own? He loves them so much that if anybody will just be kind to them a little bit, God will go ahead and bless them for the sake of that he left. I'll tell you one thing, if some of your employers knew this principle, they'd treat you all like royalty. They wouldn't be cutting your hours, and they wouldn't be trying to cheat you, and they wouldn't be trying to do you wrong if they knew that you was one of God's little darlings and your pictures is on God's fridge. If they knew your name is inscribed in his hand and graven upon his hand, they'd give you the best job in the plant. I mean, they'd be treating you good. These men recognized that God's blessing was on them, not because he loved them, but because he loved this elect. Oh my, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Why? For Joseph's sake. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Johnson City don't know how blessed they are that I came here 30 years ago. Johnson City don't know how blessed they are that some of you moved here years ago. They don't know how blessed we are that we're still here on this hillside. They laugh at us. They make fun of us. It might be our prayers that's kept some tornadoes away and kept all kinds of... Come on now, don't sit there and look at me. I'm not talking about what we are in our flesh. I'm talking about we are the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. He loves his bride. And for his elect, he has blessed wicked people sometimes. Notice in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 32. Speaking now about one of the kings there several hundred years after David had died. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Now God's fixing to basically eradicate everything out of Judah. But because of David's sake, David has been dead and buried and gone for years and years and years. And God is still remembering David. And he's still saying, because of David, I won't do this and this. Lord have mercy, children. Our legacy lives on when we're gone. Our legacy lives on. God's still doing things for his people after when we leave the earth. Notice again in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 19. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David. Notice it. His servant said, yet Judah got so wretched and so vile and so wicked. Did God save them because there was still some good ones left? For the most part, no. The reason he saved them was because of David's sake. Do you think God loves you tonight because you're so sweet and because you're so kind and this and that and the other? It's because of the son of David. David said that God loves you. God cannot destroy the bride. He could not destroy Sarah without destroying Abraham. So for David's sake, God said, I won't do it. I'll let him have one place there because of David's sake. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Kings 19:34. I will defend this city to save it for my own sake. Now look at what camaraderie here. For my own sake. And for my servant David's sake. So God and David's sake's on the same side. Now if you got a sake, make sure your sake is on God's side. Now remember, there's another way this turns, and that is because of Ahab's sake, God done this and this and this. And because of Jeroboam's sake, God done this and this. Remember? Remember? So it depends on where you put your sake. According to your outcome. Right. Now notice this in Matthew chapter 24 verse 22. Except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. Look friend, this is where we are now. Oh my, glory. But for the elect's sake. Not my sake, not the angel's sake, but for the elect's sake. Those days shall be shortened. Shorten them, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. So for the sake of some, He'll bless them. For some, He'll expand them and make them larger. For the sake of others, He'll cut them shorter. Praise the Lord. Now watch, 276 souls saved because of one man. What if God would save one, just one, for your sake? They're never bright. They're never really comprehend what you say, but yet they're as good as they know to do, and they're doing everything they know how, but somehow you wish they'd come here and you wish they'd be able to embrace the message. But if it ain't in them, friend, you can't put it in them. But don't give up on them. Keep reaching to them for what little bit of light they're able to be able to walk in and take. And it might be for your sake. Oh, glory. What was this? It was the evident, strong proof of God's love for Paul. God is merciful, is He not? But you notice the angel of God did not say because God was merciful, He'd save him. He did not say because God so loved the world that He saved him. He didn't even say because for Jesus' sake, I'll save him. Here we go. He didn't even say because the angel of God, because there's blood on the mercy seat, He said, but I'm giving them to you. I'm giving them to you. Well, hallelujah. Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Notice this. In the Old Testament, in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 14, the prophet told Jehoram, surely if it were not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. So this man wouldn't have even got an audience if he hadn't been with the right man. Amen. Now Paul says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Oh my goodness. So they can be of good cheer because Paul believes God. Now he didn't tell them be of good cheer and y'all can believe God. He knew more than likely they wasn't going to believe God. But he said y'all can be of good cheer because I believe God and I've asked God for you. I know most of y'all ain't going to believe God. You're not going to believe what I'm telling you. You're not going to convert from being a Roman to a Christian and all that. But be of good cheer. Well, I believe for you. I believe. Oh, gentlemen, what's the matter? Can't you handle this? Be of good cheer. I believe. God, what a thing to tell heathens. Why in the world would you use this as a mechanism to be able to get the message over to these people? Oh, children, I would to God that as a pastor, as the deacons, the trustees, the ministers, mothers and fathers, that we would be able to look in the same way and say, be of good cheer, my children. Be of good cheer, Happy Valley. I believe God. Be of good cheer, you fathers, to be able to look at your little family when you're going through terrible times and say, be of good cheer, wife. Be of good cheer, my children, my daughters, my son. I believe God. I believe God. And because I believe God, my faith will carry us through this. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I, not we. Notice this is not based on Paul and Luke. This is not based on Paul and Arcturus. This is based on Paul and God. There's two people in this verse. I and God. Not me and Luke and Arcturus and whoever more. But now it's down to the wire. Me and God. God said it and I believe it and it settled it. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. How many believes the same thing about our promises of the rapture and the resurrection, the body change? Wherefore, be of good cheer. Now, notice this is twice that he said this. Apparently, it didn't do it, you know, quite like they needed it done for the first time. So he turns right back around and repeats it again. Be of good cheer, for I believe God. True faith lays a hold to the promise of the word of God. The winds are still howling. The ship is still tossing about. No doubt by now it's cracking and crumbling. Oh my, it's coming all apart. That has nothing to do with what God said. Oh friend, don't you see it's the same way with you? You go to the doctor and the doctor said this test come back there and that one come back bad. Don't let your faith loose. Don't let your faith get a hold of all mine. And fear, grab a hold to your heart. Oh no, oh no, oh no. Grab a hold of what God said. I believe God. I thank you, doctor, for your medicine. I thank you for your machinery, but I believe God. Amen. Notice this in Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. I believe God. I believe God. Oh, Brother Donnie, I don't know. I tell you one thing, it's this, that, other way. If you want to go that way, that's up to you. But I believe God. Oh, I don't know how many's going to be saved. I'm afraid it's going to be awful. My, there ain't going to be nobody. I believe God. When Brother Bradham was cut beyond the curtain of time, he didn't see 40 or 50. He didn't see 60 or 70 or 300 or 400. He saw millions. Faith takes God at his word and says, I believe God. So what Paul do? Paul acts on what he believes. I believe God. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Now notice, the angel of God tells him a little bit about the information and tells him that they're going to go to an island, but he don't tell him the name. Now, he could have because this island's name was Melita. He knew all of that. The angel did. Isn't it amazing how that God chooses what to tell his people and leave other things out? Why? Because he wants to. He just does it that way. That's right. He's God and we're just the subjects. So he says we must be cast upon a certain island. Now, the circumstances foretold, so they will not think, well, maybe this guy's guessing this. Maybe this happened to be this way. Now, he's telling them, y'all going to be saved, but we're going to be cast on a certain island. How did he know that when they didn't even know where they were? They weren't sure if there's 1,000 miles out in the ocean, 500 miles out. They had no idea where they were, but this man knew there's going to be cast on an island. I tell you one thing, if I've ever in a bad boat wreck, that's the guy I want with me. That it might be made manifest that it was not a casual thing, but that it was prophecy. Now the island was Melita, as we know in chapter 28, verse 1. But yet the angel of God leaves this out. Now it's fulfilled, of course, the prediction is fulfilled. The angel gave him this information just enough to be able to solidify it in their hearts. You know, maybe God withheld part of it because if he would have added a little bit more, they would have thought it was through astrology. They would have thought it was through some type of witchcraft. And God maybe gave just enough information to be able to help them guys to be able to believe. Now it turned out to be Melita, as we know it today, it's called Malta. Now notice the must again. God again, the angel of God uses another must. Paul must stand before Caesar. And they must have a shipwreck. Oh my goodness, these musts. Boy, we love them when they're positive, don't we? You mean the same God that said you must stand before Caesar said you must have a boat wreck? The must was emphasized by prophetic insight in the contrast between the positive and the negative. Now remember, even whenever we call bad things as they come to children of God, it's not that it happens and God don't know it. It's us that's caught off guard many times. But yet it's not that God doesn't know anything about it. And out of many of those difficult times, God is able to bring a tremendous victory in our lives. Notice this, but when the 14th night was come, now can you imagine, friends? 14 nights. This thing wasn't one night on Watauga Lake. or they're down on the river fishing, big thunderstorm come up, an hour it was gone. 14 night, 2 weeks. 2 weeks they're in Euroclodon. When the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, notice this now, this is the Adriatic Sea. The shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. So this, from the beginning of the storm, now 2 weeks later, night after night, wind after wind, wave after wave, oh my, maybe let up just a little bit and turn right back around and hit them again. And here is an innocent prophet of God on board this ship. He has done nothing to deserve this decision. They are suffering this because of the decision of the owner and of the Roman centurion. And here is Luke, and here's these good people that love God, and they are suffering right by the unbelievers. Praise the Lord. Now, in Paul's day, this was called the Adria. We know it today as the Adriatic Sea, near the Mediterranean. I found this in history. It's hard to read it to you. In the part of the included the part of the Mediterranean laying south of Italy, east of Sicily, and west of Greece. Now, remember, God had Luke to be able to write with such precision that this could be able to pinpoint almost exactly where they were. Now, about midnight, they go to the Greek word here, the Greek text is some country due near to them. And they sounded and found it to be 20 fathoms. Now, notice now this, again, Luke is not a shipman, he's not a boatman, but he's not a merchantman, but he's using this terminology, a marine terminology. And he says, now, they sounded, and when they did, it found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they'd gone a little further, they sounded again, and they found it 15 fathoms. Now, it was a line tied on with a piece of lead. Let me just read this to you. A line with a piece of lead at the end of it, and they would let it down into the water. And then when they would go down, it would hit bottom. Then they would be able to look at this piece of rope or twine that they had written different measurements on it, so they let it go. Let it go, and they'd be able to tell whenever that piece of lead hit the bottom. Then the rope would stop, of course. So here they're going now, and they realize they're 120 fathoms deep. This is the depth of the water. Now, as they pull it back up, then they keep going toward this, and now they come up even less. So it was 120 feet is actually the depth of it. So when they'd gone a little further, they sounded again. So they pull it up from the 120 feet deep, and then they let it back down again, and whenever they do, they find it 15 fathoms deep. So now they're getting closer. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern. Now notice again how Luke is writing. He's writing as if, oh, he's a great ancient, you know, a guy that sailed on this thing. Who knows if he ever been on a boat in his life or not. But yet God allowed them in. I love this because it shows us how that God will be able to write things to be identified. Aren't you glad that God don't speak to us hillbillies in a Bronx accent. Now, the English countryside's a beautiful place, and I love hearing those folks over there talk, but I don't know if I could be able to sit under a pastor that talked that way all the time. I'm not sure I'd understand. I know he wouldn't understand me. So aren't you glad that God sent a hillbilly to you hillbillies? Now, you Yankees, y'all just have kind of been with us Southerners a little bit here. So Luke is writing it in such a way. Now watch, many of us preachers would say, well, we went out there, we all got real sick, and we held our stomach, and we vomited over the side, and got real sick, and we just done this, that, and the other. But that ain't the way God done Luke. God wanted Luke to be able to do it in such a way. This is a man that was there. He was so defining it and using the terms necessary to be able to prove. There's going to be thousands and thousands times thousands of people that's going to question the authenticity of this book. If this man is making this up, eventually he will make a mistake and his facade will come through. But no matter where he's at, you notice the Spirit of God as he uses Luke. Here he's on a ship. He's talking like he's born and raised on one all his life. When he's out there among the people, among the hills and so on, he will change in the way that he ministers, and he'll do the same thing there. Why? God doing it according to what they have need of. Oh, he's so mindful of us. Now notice, so they are getting afraid. Now they're thinking, you know, oh my goodness, these rocks, we don't know exactly where they are. Could this be a rocky shore? So they send down, they sound it, they send down again, and they're thinking. Now the fear is gripping their heart. Wow, wow. After Paul told them, don't be afraid, then things started happening to make them afraid. You're always going to be tried, friends. I said, you're always going to be tried. Now watch. As they go on to where that they cast out four anchors. Now watch these guys. In the hinder part of the ship. So on account of the violence of the storms and the waves. To make it possible if they could be able to secure the ship, that it would not throw them any closer. Because they're not exactly sure where they are. But they know they are getting closer to land. Amen. What are they wishing for? The day. So if they can anchor and they can sit there and wait till the day comes. Oh, that's what I'm waiting for. Aren't y'all waiting for the day? I get scared out here on this boat sometimes at dark. You know how it is. Storms, you know, storms during the day, you can kind of watch where they're coming from and see the clouds and swirling of the wind. Isn't it amazing how that nighttime things are always worse? Whether it's a thunderstorm or it's lightning or whatever it is, it's always worse. You don't know where it's coming from. You can't see which direction it's coming, which way it's going. Nighttime always makes it worse. Children have their worst fears and trauma and all that sort of thing. Many times at nighttime, a fever will always be worse at night. People will always get sicker, seem like at nighttime. And here they are at nighttime and they're getting closer and closer, and the fear and the trauma of crashing is now building in, you know, and they're thinking, well, this guy told us to be of good cheer, but how can we be of good cheer? Because we're moving closer and closer. It's hard to say how big this boat was. So how much of the boat itself was actually in the water? So they're there wishing for the day to be able to discern which way should we go in. So after much tossing on the sea of life, oh, glory to God. Can you imagine after tossing on the sea of life and coming through all the lightning and the thunder? And we'll set sail on the old ship of Zion. And we'll step out on the other shore. The winds would have gone. The clouds would have broke away. And we'll step out on the glassy sea. Glory to God. We leave the troubled sea of life. And in a moment of time, Brother Darrell, we step out on the glassy sea. No more lightning, no more thunder, no more heartaches, no more sickness. And we trade this old ship of life and all the storms of life. And we stand there with the saints of God. And when John saw it there, and it looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Praise God. Oh, it'll be worth it, children. We'll land safely in the haven of happiness. Praise be to God. Of eternal joy and bliss if we can be faithful. And we shall, because God said we're going to the other side. Notice in verse 30, as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under cover. Now watch. They had seen the display of a man that had displayed one attribute after another, the Spirit of God, of selflessness. But when it comes down to your life, brother, that's where it really shows. Somebody walks in them doors there tonight and said, we're going to kill one person out of this church. Would any of us be willing to say, take me and let everybody else live? Or would you say, well, I've got a wife, I've got children, I've got my work, I've got my ministry, I've got... Praise the Lord. When it come right down to life, if only five would be able to live out of this assembly, how many of us would be willing? Well, God, I don't want to. I love my wife. I love my children, my grandchildren, the pastor of the church. I love all that. But God, help me to be willing to be able to give my life if I could spare the lives of others. But these men did not have that life, yet they're in the same ship as Paul. Don't you understand, friends, why we have so much stuff goes on around this message? Because we got folks just like us in the same ship we're in. Oh, they believe the message they say. They've been around forever and ever and ever. But watch the display of their attitude. It's all about them. And if they are not made over after a while, if they're not lifted up and this and that and the other, they're not going to hang around. Well, praise the Lord, brother darling. So what are they fixing to do? The shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. But notice now the word here that Luke uses. Notwithstanding, the anchor's cast out. Now they drop it down as if though that they're trying to steady the ship. But in reality, they're fixing to make a secret escape. Luke uses the word here, color, which is pretense. So it's under color or a pretense. So they pretend, hey, listen, man, you come on, brothers, let's go on back in. We're going to let the anchor down and say, hey, when we get back there, we're going to let the boat down. We'll jump over this thing and get out of that bunch of holy rollers. I'm out of here, man. I'm leaving the message. I'm making a video for YouTube. I'm getting out of this place. This whole mic, this people's deceived. Oh my. Under the pretense of watching out for everybody else. We've got you all in mind. We've got your back. But if you don't mind, I'd just soon have my own back. I don't want no liar or no coward on my back. Anybody ever turns in the middle of the battle one time against me, it's hard for me to have confidence in them from that point on. Because if they turn once, they may turn again. And they may turn. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. I'm sorry if you don't like that. That's just the way it is. You realize that God gives us something. If we cannot take one another's word and our character, friend, there's something wrong with us. We're not Christians. I don't care how much we say we are. If our word is worthless and we just lie and make all kinds of promises and don't ever keep. Don't make a promise if you don't have the intention of keeping it. Well, praise the Lord. Notice in verse 31, now these guys are doing this under pretense. They said nothing to nobody except just themselves. So it's under color or cover, under pretense. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Now Paul done knew he was going to be saved with or without them. But except these old boys stay in the ship, y'all gonna die. You notice he didn't say himself? Glory be to God. I don't know what you folks are doing. I don't know what a lot of folks in this message is gonna do. You this, you that, the other. But I believe God. I'm going on myself. I can't make none of y'all go. I want y'all to go. I want y'all to be there. But the bottom line is, I know I'm going. I believe God. And I will say this, if you're going to be saved, if you're going in the rapture, you've got to abide in this ship. Not so much this church building, but this provided way that God has given us. That's right. Notice, you imagine how these guys must have got really tore up because they hadn't told nobody nothing. And here's this prophet over there telling the centurion. Isn't it amazing that he didn't go to the ship owner? Isn't it amazing he didn't go to the captain of the ship, but he went to the Roman centurion. Now he goes to the centurion and he begins to tell him. Apparently now this man was a very sensible man, and we do believe that Paul had found favor in his eyes. And he said, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Why? Because God is fixing to use these people. Let me find a place to close. Sometimes when God goes to moving in our lives, it will be totally supreme deity that moves on our behalf. It will be the sovereignty of God that comes in and moves things one after another, and we stand there in awe and think, my goodness, that was nothing but the Lord. And there'll be other times that God will mix the supreme deity and humanity together, and it will anoint our hands, our minds, our eyes, and things that we must do along with it because we are his buddies, Brother Rem said. We are his co-workers together. It's just as much God, but there'll be more of you visible than there was last time. Oh, last time it was more of him and hardly none of you, but that tends to make us lazy Laodiceans more lazy Laodiceans. So, he's not going to do that every time. So then there'll be other times that you'll have to pray and you'll have to fight and you'll have to row and you'll have to labor. That's just the way he does it. Now, except these abide in the ship. Now, the reason is going to be pretty clear here momentarily. Because God is going to use these able-bodied men and their understanding and their wit about them. Some of them, no doubt, have brave sailors before, and they've maybe been in shipwrecks before. But God, in this particular instance, has ordained that deity and humanity merge together. Now, sometimes God may supernaturally touch you in your body. You don't need an x-ray. You don't need a scan. You don't need to go to a doctor. doctor. You don't need a pain pill, an herb, or nothing else. And there may be other times that God's way may choose you to have a surgery or have a this or that or the other. Come on now. You want to say you're telling me tonight, those of you that are wearing glasses, don't thank God for glasses? What if you believe God every time for your healing, take your glasses off? Come on. Hand them to me. Right there, I want them. I'm going to break them. Well, you believe God, don't you? Now you see, it's easier for me to say I had LASIK done several years ago. Next, I'm calling for folks with contacts. Oh, my. But does God use that? Yes. And he's fixing to on this ship. He's fixing to use supernaturally. He's going to save them. But they're going to have to seemingly fight for their life. God gives you your land, but you'll fight for every inch of it. Let's stand. Praise God. The continuation of the book of Acts. Don't you love him with all your heart? Let's bow our heads together. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord. We so appreciate your word. How we're able to take these stories and look at them, Father, as you quicken it to modern conditions, bring our very lives right into the venue. We thank you, Lord. We so appreciate your grace. Lord, you know where every person is here tonight in this visible audience and those in the invisible audience. You know what they're going through, their storms. You know where they are. And Lord, many times we suffer because of a family member, a husband or a wife, or maybe a child or a grandfather, a mother, whoever more. We're part of that family, and they make a bad decision. It breaks shame and reproach on every member of that family. We suffer because of being members of a church. A member of that church do something wrong or something bad and bring reproach on the whole assembly or a pastor. Yet, Lord, we're not guilty of that. But because we're in the same ship, as it were, we're identified in the difficulties of it. And this is where Paul finds himself. He knew what the will of God was, yet he did not have the power to make them do it. So they choose to go contrary to the will of God. He and Luke and the other brothers that are there with them, they suffer because of a wrong decision. Yet you, by your grace, proved yourself. Paul served you like a man, even in diverse circumstances. Help us, I pray, Lord, when we're going through things. Well, if my son hadn't done this, and my mother, my brother-in-law done this and that. Help us, I pray, Father, to be able to maintain the right attitude. Even when we're going through things, Lord, that's not really our fault. If it's our fault and we see we deserve it, then most of us will kind of bend a little bit and say, well, I deserve it. But when it ain't our fault and we find ourselves suffering, Lord, you know how we are. Many times we tend to deal with an attitude. Help us, I pray, Lord. Help us, I pray. May we be true servants that belong to you. We worship and we serve. We serve with the right attitude. We serve in the midst of difficulty. Even when we are done wrong, we still serve. Not with a vengeful spirit, but a spirit of forgiveness and harmony and truth. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. You told us in your word when you were here, if you forgive those who forgive you, what think have you? For sinners do that. If you can be able to help those that help you and lend a helping hand, as we'd say, and be nice and all whatever more to those that do it to you, you're not doing anything outstanding. But when we can do it to those who hate us, we can pray for those who would despitefully use us. This is what Paul had done. Lord, we'll look at it, Lord willing, next week. No sooner than they break up, than these guys make it up in their mind, they're going to kill them all. This very man of God that stood for them, now they're going to kill him with them. Amazing how that people turn on you over and over again. They turn on you. Lord, how many times have I seen it? How many times have preachers seen it? Lord, you pray with people and study for them and help them get delivered of this and that and the other and then cross them one time. They turn on you. They lie on you. They do everything in the world against you. And that's what these guys are fixing to do to Paul. But the grace of God intervened on his behalf. Help us tonight, Lord Jesus. I don't know where every one of these people are. Maybe some of them's on the sea of life of sickness and disease. They've exhausted everything they know to do. Lord Jesus, may you help them tonight, Father. Maybe it's their children. Maybe it's their husband or their wife. I don't know, Lord. But may you minister to your people. Lord God, we may never have an angel come to us in the way that Paul did. But may the Holy Spirit come near us tonight. Just speak a word. Just warm our hearts by his presence. That's all we need to let us know you're with us. We love you, Father. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many would like to be remembered tonight before the Lord? Just raise your hand. Whatever your little old boat of life is going through. Difficult on your job and your home, your finances, whatever it is. May the Spirit of God give you courage and strength tonight, my friends. I thank God that he had Luke to write this. Amazing. Now we've been going weeks and weeks. No great miracles. Nobody raised from the dead. No lame, no crippled, no halt, no blind. And yet we see the hand of God moving through one phase after another. You see, the church had matured now. They've come beyond the baby stage. They still believed in miracles. But they're having more trials and tests. That's why Luke is emphasizing trials and tests. Thank God he did. Whatever you need tonight. Let me ask you. Do you believe God? As Paul said he did. Be of good cheer. I believe God. Be of good cheer, wife. Be of good cheer, children. I believe God. Amen. For whatever your need is tonight. Your body racked with pain. You're getting over some sort of affliction or sickness. Speak to your body tonight. And tell it. Body. Be of good cheer. I believe God. Body, I believe God. I understand you're weak, flesh. I understand you're weak and you have up days and down days and you're not solid. And I don't expect you to be. But be of good cheer, flesh. I believe God. And my faith is going to bring you into a well image. Glory to God. I believe God. I believe God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Disassociate yourself with my heart trouble and my sugar and my blood pressure. May God help you from this night. You will not identify yourself. My family has this and my family and it just runs in my family. But you're born again of another family too. Jesus don't have blood pressure. Years ago, Brother Tracy went to the hospital and they said, you got sugar and you got this. And he said, honey, you can't give Jesus sugar. I don't think that makes us foolish now. We have to take care of that human part, but don't claim it. Amen. I believe God. I believe God. Don't worry, body. You're getting older. You're getting more gray hairs. You're getting wrinkled. You're getting weaker. But don't worry. I believe God. I believe God, Brother Terry. You believe? I believe God. Your children getting worse? I believe God. Your loved ones, you've taught them right. Children, oh, they've gone away, Brother Donnie. But y'all, the prophet said, you may teach them right. And he said, they may get away from it, but it will never get away from them. I believe God for his mercy. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in his great love. Let's sing it now. From on Jesus. It just comes to my heart right now. Brother Jerry Phillips had surgery just a few weeks ago, and our brothers just had one situation after another after that surgery. We just want to take him right now before the throne of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to call our brother Jerry's name tonight. I know he'd love to be able to be here in the house of God. Lord, I know that he'd love to be feeling better and back to his health, Lord Jesus. I pray the Spirit of God would move for our brother tonight, Lord. You see, after the surgery, Lord, he had one complication after another and another, and Lord, another situation arose today. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you'd move for our brother. We refuse to look at these waves. We refuse to listen to the cracking of the boards. Hallelujah. The howling of the winds. We believe God. Your word says, by your stripes we are healed. Lord God, may you move for our brother, I pray. You see this situation, Father, move for him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And the saint said,
amen.
Amen. I'm living by faith in Jesus.
Care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is His. living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, from all harm's way in His shelter.
Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Father. Amen. How many can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord together tonight? Amen. God bless you, saints. So appreciate you. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for your presence, your word tonight. Lord, go with us now as we leave. May you bring us back at the appointed time. We love you with all of our hearts. How we long for the time, Father, when we'll set our sails out and we'll cast our anchors for the last time. Praise God. And we'll wait for the day. We won't find an isthmus. We will not find where two seas have met. We'll not find a wrecked up ship. But we'll find ourselves landing, making the final phase of this crossing, Lord, back into eternity. Lord God, as I read it the other night up in Ohio, where the prophet said when that little loop dropped down out of eternity, when it come down and you put a streak of blood all the way across that whole thing so you could pull it back up into eternity again. Praise God. You was the first one to apply that blood there in the garden. Hallelujah to God. with Adam and Eve, and there's been that streak of blood, and it'll be streaked all the way to the end. Then this little block of time will be pulled right back up into the circle of eternity. Glory to God, covered by the blood. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight. Bring us back, Lord. Watch over us, we pray. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life. Listen now, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at your strife. Everybody, living by faith in Jesus above. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. I love you.